Hello, everyone. I'm Ellen Dubin, and you're listening to We Be Geeks podcast. Keep listening.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red Button standing by.
Red Fox standing by.
Big Red standing by.
Red October standing by.
Helen Reddy standing by.
Simply Red standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, across town at the home for the mentally deficient,
you have episode 35 of We Be Geeks. Welcome, everyone. I am your host, Mike. God, I'm a little off tonight.
Yeah. Mike's been just sort of had a long day. I'm Eric, your co-host, by the way.
So,
in case you're panicking, going, who is this person talking? Why is he? Who is he? I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't like it.
So, what is our theme for tonight?
Oh, well, tonight we're going to be talking all about sort of issues in politics as they relate to geek culture. So, we're going to pretty much offend everyone, is my goal.
Well, if I could get this tissue over to you, I would, since you're saying you needing a tissue.
Come again?
You said it's about tissues, right?
No, issues.
Issues. Okay, issues, not tissues. Okay, gotcha. Not tissues. Gotcha.
Right.
So, where do we want to start?
Well, let's start with Orson Scott Card, because that's probably going to lose us the least listeners. Like, we'll do it so we lose progressively more listeners, and there's no one left by the end.
You know.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
No, I think it's okay for us. We usually steer away from this sort of stuff, but I think it's okay for us to talk about it once in a while.
We're doomed.
Give yourself to the dark side.
Oh, I think we will after tonight.
Yeah. So Orson Scott Card, as we all know, wrote Ender's Game, and there's an Ender's Game movie coming out. And the other big thing that Orson Scott Card does is say crazy, super right-wing things that almost no one agrees with. And this is having an effect on the trending for Ender's Game already. They're really worried about, you know, his outspoken nature.
Right.
They're trying to distance themselves from him already. And, you know, he was writing a Superman book for DC, and they say they're going ahead with it, but the artist on the project can't. I believe when they said Orson Scott Card was going to be writing it. He's just like, nope, I'm not working with him. I'm not stepping into that minefield.
Wow. What Superman title was this?
It was a mini series. I believe it was going to be called Birthright, but I'm not sure. I will.
So they were going to
Google
They were going to do another Birthright.
Adventures of Superman is what it was going to be called, apparently.
Okay, so
it was going to be a new book, and I don't think it was going to be an ongoing. I think it was going to be a mini series.
Well, I was going to say there's already a title called Adventures of Superman.
Yeah, well, that was
unless he was going to do a miniseries within it, but still, to have the artist back out because it's him.
Yeah, apparently it was.
Think people need to reevaluate something.
Well, he did. The main problem with Orson Scott Card, as I see it, is not so much that he has these sort of outspoken views. It's that he was actually on the board of directors for the National Organization of Marriage, which is essentially, you know, that's a really cute way to name yourself, but it's a group that a lot of watchdog organizations, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, consider a hate group.
Right.
Because their rhetoric is so anti-gay. It's not just, you know, opposed to gay marriage. They're the sort of people who say, you know, being gay is a choice. These people should change the way that they live their lives and not choose to live like that.
Right. So in other words, he is so far to the right. Obama's conservative.
Well, you can argue that Obama's conservative, but I think you mixed your metaphor there a bit.
No, I'm saying he's so far to the right.
Yeah.
That Obama's a conservative.
Well, you've got it backwards. Maybe you want to say that Obama looks liberal compared to the Orson Scott Card.
Okay, I might be right. I have my left and right so mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? He's so far to the right, he makes Ethan Van Sciver look like a liberal.
That works. Ethan, see, that's the thing with Ethan Van Sciver, and I'll give you another example, is Mel Gibson.
Right.
I know that they're conservative. Yeah, I'm personally not. I consider myself to be fairly liberal. By fairly, I mean very. But, you know, Ethan Van Sciver is still a great artist, and Mel Gibson, you know, is still a great director.
Right.
They're not, you know, people are entitled to their views. And when you go as far as Orson Scott Card did, though, it's a separate issue because he's, you know, it's not just that I have these views, I'm going to vote a certain way. That's your right. He spends, you know, ad money against, he was a big supporter of Proposition 8 in California, even though he is not from California.
Right.
Him and his organization spent a lot of ad money, you know, and he personally spends a lot of ad money campaigning on these issues. And he started to try to walk it back after the Supreme Court ruling on DOMA.
Right.
And he did one of my favorite things. I love it when people do this. What he did was he's like, you know, well, it seems like the homosexuals have won. So, you know, I hope they'll be as tolerant of people who are, you know, have a different view as they claim to want people to be of them. You don't get to say you have to be tolerant of my intolerance.
Right.
You know, let's change what he's saying here for a second. Let's say that instead of gay people, Orson Scott Card had a problem with black people. And he was saying, you know, I just don't like black people. I don't think they're as good as people who aren't black. That's just the way I was raised. I go somewhere every week and they tell me that that's, you know, what they think too. I get that belief affirmed. And you have to respect that belief. And it's intolerant of you to say that I'm wrong. No, that's not going to fly.
No. No, it's not.
And, you know, it's the same thing with homosexuality, I think.
Right.
You know, maybe you don't like it if you just want to say, you know, I think that's icky. Fine. You're allowed. But leave people alone to live, you know, their lives the way they want to live them.
Sounds like he's in the same hot tub drinking the same fruit punch as Tom Cruise. You know, when Cruise went off on his whole thing. And just
I must
got
have
him.
That.
Well, it's like the whole thing, like when he married Katie Holmes and the whole jumping on the couch and just all of a sudden going complete eccentric.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Tom Cruise is a funny choice because, you know, there is that rumor that Tom Cruise did that because he's hiding the fact that he himself is a homosexual, which I don't know that there's any truth to that rumor, but I'm sure you've heard it before.
I've heard it, yeah. But, I mean, it's still that whole thing, you know, he made himself an outcast. He, you know, the whole thing with the being almost a spokesman for Scientology and the whole everything else, it hurt the films he was in some. You know, same thing with Mel Gibson with his anti-Semitic point of views as well. You know, Card's doing the same thing. You know, if the studios are worried about, you know, putting his name anywhere near Ender's Game.
Yeah, he wasn't
just to protect it.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing as much as they can. It's not called Orson Scott Card's Ender's Game. And Orson Scott Card is a serviceable science fiction writer. I actually have a book about writing science fiction by Orson Scott Card that's not bad. It was when I was younger. I bought this book probably 20 years ago. Before it was, you know, before Orson Scott Card's politics were very well known. And I bought a lot of books on writing. I have a book on writing by Denny O'Neill and Michael Straczynski as well.
Right.
But, you know, Card has some insights there. He's a serviceable science fiction writer. And if he would, you know, he's entitled to his opinion. I give my opinion on Twitter, too.
Right.
But, you know, you have to expect that people, if they don't like what you're saying, they're not going to like you and they're not going to want to give you money. That's just human nature.
Right.
You know, whether that's fair or not. His products also aren't to a quality that it overshadows that. Yeah, Ender's Game may be a good movie. It may be a good book. It may be a great book to some. It's not Braveheart.
I hope not.
I mean, I don't know. Did you not like Braveheart?
I did, but I would think, you know, he's writing fiction. Braveheart.
Yeah.
What
well,
was
Braveheart was historical fiction-ish.
It was. Yeah. There was some fiction behind it,
yeah,
but it was based on actual person, actual and some major yeah. actual facts.
Yeah,
it's just it definitely took some liberties.
I would call it probably a romanticized version of history.
Yes,
but that aside, Braveheart was, you know, an excellent film. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, you know, Braveheart from a technical standpoint, from a story standpoint, isn't good. It's sort of hard to argue with that.
Right.
My girlfriend doesn't like it because she thinks it's a boy movie for some reason.
Eh.
I think it's one of those things that like me and her brothers. She has three brothers and no sisters.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's one of those things that like we're like so into it, and she's like, well, it's okay, but if you know, if you would shut up about it, I'd like it more maybe.
Right.
So here's the thing about Card. He starts to walk back this anti-gay rhetoric.
Right.
And then he writes this post, which actually he wrote a couple of months ago, and it just now sort of came to light. People pointed it out. Basically comparing Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler and saying that he's going to turn urban youth gangs into the Gestapo.
Yeah. And that's just that whole crazy other feeling.
Yeah. Alex Jones is going to read that and go, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
that's out there.
And
actually...
Yeah.
It's funny because there are some readings of Ender's Game that, you know, if you're up on literary criticism, people read into the themes and points of novels. There are certain readings that people believe it supports Nazism.
It sounds like it.
Like the sort of thing that Card would do.
Right. I'm not that familiar with the story itself, but yeah, I could probably let you know more after coming out of the film.
Yeah, I've read parts of it, but I don't think I've ever read the whole thing. From what I understand, I know it's about children fighting a war that they think is a game.
Okay.
And it's like there are certain readings that come out on the side of, yeah, that's an okay thing to do.
Right, right.
It's sort of like another book like that. Have you read Starship Troopers?
Yes.
You know, Heinlein, which I found funny, the movie version is so far from this. Starship Troopers is almost an implicit endorsement of fascism.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the movie went so far in the other direction about, you know, how war propaganda is made.
And right.
The part of that movie that I always remember as being something that I will assume just infuriated Heinlein, if I don't even know if Heinlein's still alive. You know that?
I'm not sure if he is either.
I'm not sure. If Heinlein watched Starship Troopers, there's a scene where Johnny Rico is enlisting in the military, and the recruitment officer has, like, no limbs. He's got, like, all robotic limbs.
Right.
And Johnny Rico says he wants to join the mobile infantry, and the recruitment officer says, yeah, mobile infantry made me the man I am today. That is so far away from the points that Heinlein tried to make in that book.
Right. But the filmmakers were, you know,
yeah,
that was their jab at the government for being at war.
Yeah.
Or the wars we've had in the last few years.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, an anti-war movie, where the book was a very pro-war book.
But so, would you like to know more?
You can visit your local library.
Stay tuned. Would you like to know more?
They did that on Babylon 5, too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, Orson Scott Card is crazy, and it's going to cost the studio money, I think, is the bottom line.
I would think so.
I mean, he has the right to his crazy, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think you cross a line when you're actively campaigning against people's human rights.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Yeah.
And that line starts at Orson Scott Card.
I think he's well over that line at this point.
Could be. So where do we go next?
What's our next big issue?
Would you say...
Why don't we talk about Kickstarter?
Okay.
This is a little less political, I think. It'll be a nice kind of palate cleanser.
True.
Have you ever backed a project on Kickstarter?
Yes, we have backed two.
Which projects were they?
They were both independent movies.
Okay. I've backed a few more than that, mostly for games and board games. In fact, I have one in my hand right now because it's sitting right by my bed. I'll give it a little shout out. It's a game called Boss Monster.
Okay.
It's a really fun little card game that started out as a Kickstarter campaign, and now it's in stores everywhere. I think you can even pick it up on Amazon. It's by a company called Brotherwise Game. It's sort of a neat little card game where it's almost like Tower Defense, the card game, with sort of Nintendo-inspired graphics.
Right.
You build a dungeon out of cards that you draw from a deck, and then there are hero cards, and the heroes come to your dungeon, and the goal is to kill them before they get to your boss monster and cause you a wound.
Okay.
And it's a fun game. It's a fast game. And, you know, they're a new company. This is their first product. And I think really that's what Kickstarter is all about.
Right.
You get your startups, your independents, people. You know, this project probably wouldn't have seen the light of day if it wasn't for Kickstarter. Because, you know, board games are expensive.
Right. And the banks aren't always willing to support, you know, the independents.
Yeah. You know, if you're a business, if you're two people, you're not going to get a small business loan.
No.
You don't have employees.
No. Especially if you're only looking for a small amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a business. You know, banks is a business loan. They want to issue out hundreds of thousands of dollars, not 20 grand.
Yeah. So Kickstarter is a really good place for you know, small upcoming talents. There's a lot of comic books that get started on Kickstarter. Jason from 7 Days a Geek just had a Kickstarter for a comic book that he's doing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's something that you know, he wouldn't have been able to do on his own.
Right.
But, you know, he put it to the community, and people said, this looks pretty cool. Here's some money.
Well, I know Peter Mayhew is doing a documentary on his whole from standing to walking again, because last year or 2 years ago?
It was recently.
Yeah, fairly recently. He fell at a show in Detroit and is having to have both knees replaced. So they're doing
that. When you're that tall, Peter Mayhew's 7'4".
Exactly.
7'3".
I mean, and he's a great guy. We're hoping to get him on the show. I just know he's been super busy. I've been super busy. I haven't had a chance to get the email out there.
Yeah.
But he's got two kids' books out talking about, you know, being a giant and being different, and that it's okay to be different. They're positive spins.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the Peter Mayhew Foundation, which is there to help people in need as needed. And the other stuff he does, I mean, he is, I would consider him one of the ambassadors to Star Wars easily.
Yeah. And he's running a Kickstarter campaign for the documentary.
He is. I think part of it's going to help fund the documentary, I'm not exactly sure where the money is going to.
Yeah.
I have it on our Facebook page. I have a link to it.
So, yeah, people can check it out on our Facebook page.
So check it out. But, I mean, then you go with, since we're doing issues.
Let's talk about people like Zach Braff.
Well, I was gonna go the direction of, you know, here recently, and I think a lot of it's come up because of Heroes of Cosplay coming out. The costuming world, the cosplay world, is Kickstarter the proper format, proper location for cosplayers to go to seek money from?
I think. There's a couple of issues here. One of them, I think, is the question of, is it proper for you to use whatever celebrity you've gained in doing whatever, in this case, cosplay? Is it proper to use that celebrity for whatever, whatever other project and whatnot? And I'm going to take a stance that might surprise people. I'm going to say, absolutely. Why not? Because I've really thought about it, and I don't have a problem with that. Because it's the sort of thing that, you know, they did, you know, you have to work to get any amount of following in any field.
Right.
And once you get that, if you want to build on that to go in other directions, or if you just, you know, where we're coming from, there was a story that got taken down. I believe it was on Nerd Reactor.
I think so.
It was about cosplayers who basically had campaigns, not on Kickstarter, but on other platforms, essentially asking for charity.
I think one was on Kickstarter.
One was on Kickstarter.
Was it the one gal who had, whose house flooded? Was that on, she went Kickstarter on that, didn't she?
I don't think so. I think that was on GoFundMe.
Well, I know the one with the vet bills with her cat went to GoFundMe.
Yeah.
I think the other one, I thought they said that was Kickstarter.
I don't think so. I don't think any of them were actually Kickstarter projects, or possibly one of them started off on Kickstarter and was removed because it wasn't, you know, a thing for anything.
Right.
Because Kickstarter is first and foremost for producing a product.
Now, to me, from the impression I've gotten, GoFundMe is more for charitable stuff.
Yeah.
Which, fine. I have no problems with that. If you want to help someone out, be the Good Samaritan with that, that's what GoFundMe is for.
Yeah.
But to, you know, if your house floods and you're a major cosplayer or a major, or any type of celebrity, be it cosplay, comic artist, comic writer, whatever, I don't think going to Kickstarter to try and raise money to replace costumes or supplies or whatever, and your PS3 and your Xbox, etc.
Well, Kickstarter's definitely not the place to do that.
I agree. I mean, that's not the place.
Site. I mean, there are other crowdsourcing. I think the reason that Kickstarter comes up is because it's the big dog.
Right. Well, and I think that's the one most people go to because that's the one they know.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, no. Not Kickstarter. Go to GoFundMe. That's the one you want.
If you have this celebrity, whatever. Degree that you have celebrity, the people who are your fans will find you on whatever, you know, platform that you go to.
Right.
They'll follow you.
Right. Well, and if you advertise it, they're going instantly. But I don't think the cosplay needs to be on Kickstarter.
Well, there was Indiegogo.
That way.
There was a Kickstarter that really disturbed me. The one thing here I want to make very clear, we're not going to name any name, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying that to you, Mike. I'm saying that to our audience.
Right.
We're not going to name any names because the reason that Geek Reactor took this article down wasn't because of anything about the article. It was because people were attacking the people who were mentioned in the article.
Oh, they were attacking them on their Facebook page.
Yeah, which I find deplorable.
That's society.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not okay. Like, you can disagree with people. You don't need to attack them personally.
Right.
Especially when it's something that they're just doing something you don't agree with, or possibly just being female.
Right.
You know, you can save it. You can keep those thoughts inside. You don't have to tell people, you know, I disagree with what you're doing. That makes you a terrible person.
Right.
I'm sure it's far worse than that, but I'm just saying. But the one that bothered me, there was a Kickstarter for someone who wanted to buy a sexy costume, and the rewards were all sexy pictures of herself. And there was one reward tier where I think it was $500. She would Skype chat with you.
Okay. And what type of Skype chat are we talking about?
It said that it would not be, you know, a sexual nature.
That's where I think cosplay gets into trouble.
Yeah, there is.
If you're looking for, I mean, if the Kickstarter is for sexy costume, I want to buy or make, I need help raising the money to get materials or get the outfit itself, and the rewards are sexy pictures, I'm sorry, the impression is going to be if the top reward is you're going to get a half hour to an hour of chat.
15 minutes.
Oh, 15 minutes, still.
Yeah.
They're most guys who are going after this.
Well, you know, let's slow down here. She's very clear that you know, it's, you know, not going to be of a sexual nature, and I think she did still have two cosplayer fans can be a little sycophantic.
Right.
I don't think I understand what you're getting at. The whole thing of, she used the word sexy a lot.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You get the wrong person who buys that reward.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Her fault.
No, you know, but it doesn't matter if it's sexy or not.
Yeah.
I mean,
it does feel like borderline pornographic. I'm not a prude, and I have no problem with pornography.
I mean, it's one of those. I mean, look at these various rape cases and whatnot. Yes, the person did not deserve to be raped, and usually, you know, the attacker is jailed. But I mean, if the plaintiff comes dressed in, you know, dressed all sexily and stuff like that. I mean, how many times have you heard stories that the judge warns, if you continue like this, you know, expect that type of conduct?
No, I absolutely disagree. And it's the nature of rape cases is that it's not in general, it's not, you know, people randomly grabbing slutty looking women off the street. It's mostly date rape. It's right. Mostly people you know. It's got nothing to do with how you're dressed or how you act. I mean, you know, there are.
Okay. I just realized I was referring more to the date rape. Yeah. You always hear, well, she was asking for it.
Yeah. I don't buy that. I mean, I don't. No one's asking to be raped. Maybe pretend raped.
No.
That's consensual.
Right. But, you know, how many times do you see. Trying to figure out if this is the direction I really want to go. How many times?
It's probably not, Mike. I'm gonna give you a warning. It's probably not.
Well,
we're gonna have a chance to get into this later because I want to talk about Penny Arcade.
But you know, this is the show for us to do it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you go out clubbing, and I mean, you see, you know, the women in 7-inch heels with a 3-inch front platform, and you know. Their outfits barely covering the lower half.
I mean, women can dress however they want.
I agree with you there. You know, dress however you want, but you know, you walk by and some guy at the bar smacks you on the butt. You know, don't yes be offended that he did it, but don't be surprised that it happened.
It's 100% inappropriate on the man's part and not the woman's part.
I agree, but
you know, if you're the type of guy who does that, actually, someone actually did something similar to that to my girlfriend a couple of weeks ago, and she broke his hand.
Good for her.
Yeah.
But if this
he put his hand on her leg, and when he put it back on the table, she stood up and put her heel through it.
Wow. But I mean, but if you get those people who go, I don't get why this happens all the time. Well, then maybe reevaluate how you're dressing. I mean,
I absolutely disagree that sort of thing, that there's any sort of causal reaction there. If someone's going to be a rapist, they're going to be a rapist no matter how you're dressed. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I'm not.
And no matter how you act, it's.
Well, I'm not even saying rapist. I'm saying. Every time con season starts, you know, you see go around Facebook.
Yeah.
Cosplay is not consent.
Right.
Which is fine. I have no problem with that. But if you're cosplaying and you're cosplaying in that manner, I mean, it comes with the territory.
No, I don't know.
You're going to get comments. No, you're going to get unwanted, unsolicited advances. I mean, it's the nature of the game.
It's the degree to what these things happen, and are they harassing?
Harassing if it's unsolicited.
That makes it not acceptable. I mean, it's human nature to see someone you're attracted to and want to, you know, get to know them. There are ways to do that are right. acceptable and don't make you look like a creeper.
Right.
But the problem is, it's never okay to be a creeper.
But a lot of these conventions, that's what happens. They breed the creepers.
Yeah, I think. Oh, well, let's talk about that for a second, because I think there's a reason for that. I think that a lot of guys in the geek community are really bad with women, and they don't realize it. And I think they have unreasonable expectations.
right.
about who and what women are.
Right.
And I mean, I let me give you an example. Have you ever read the book Scott Pilgrim or seen
yes.
the movie?
Yes.
So you're familiar with Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
I can't count how many times I saw some ignorant mouth breather on 4chan or some message board saying something like, why would you fight for a girl who's had 7 boyfriends? She's a slut. Shut up. But that is the sort of prevalent attitude that these guys have.
But this is probably the same guy who brags about how he's had 20 women.
He's had no women
month.
If he thinks like that. He's had no women. I guarantee
Huge.
You he's had no
I
women.
I agree.
There is a double standard there that, you know, it's okay for men to be promiscuous and not okay for women. And that's, I disagree with that too. Sex is fun, and I don't blame anyone who wants to have it. I have it as much as I possibly can.
Hey, I had it at least once. I've got a kid to prove
Mike's
it.
Mike's got a daughter. see, Mike is married. He can't talk about like all his sexual exploits of his youth.
There's
well,
not
your wife
much
doesn't
to talk
listen
about.
To the show.
There's yeah. not much to talk about. I mean, most of it.
Rejection. How I missed you.
I think there's a strong sort of tide through the community that with men they see women as either Madonnas or whores.
Right. Well,
it's an unacceptable attitude.
Well, for me, like going when I went to the last two Star Wars celebrations that were both here in Orlando, I mean, I gave my wife the warning heads up. I said, honey, there's going to be a lot of women dressed as Slave Leia. And, honey, it's not the person. It's the character and the costume.
Yep.
That's it. I have no desire to be with the person in the costume. It's just the character in the costume. And believe me, I saw a lot. I would say a good third of the people dressed as Slave Leia should not have been dressed as Slave Leia.
Well,
if that's how
they want to dress, that's fine.
I give them kudos for wanting to choose that costume, but I mean they're and very respectful of your self esteem and your self and your self image to wear that costume. But me, there's just some people who.
Let's slow it down, and I want to make a point about that issue of, you know, people who are maybe not the most attractive who are cosplaying or something. It's okay to think that, but it's not okay to tell them.
No. I could tell you from MegaCon, I saw, gosh, she must have been like 62, 63, dressed as Emma Frost.
Yeah.
And you could tell she had augmentation done and everything else, but you could also tell, too, that the skin was wrinkly. She looked like Emma Frost in her 60s. And
wow.
To be honest with you, I don't think Emma Frost in her 60s would be wearing the corset and the boy toy shorts.
Oh, who knows with Emma Frost?
So.
But again, you know, these are things where you might think that, and that's human nature. Not everyone finds every single person attractive,
right?
And it's okay to think to yourself, "Boy, I don't find her attractive." But you know, it's not okay to go over to her and say, "You're not attractive." There's a line of human decency.
True.
And you know, that's something that people need to remember. And it's not okay to go on the internet and say, because you know, we're not naming any names here. We're not telling you where to find these people.
If you want to find them, you'll find
them.
We're
not being specific.
No.
And for a reason. People don't deserve to be harassed because they choose to do something that maybe
right.
doesn't appeal to you.
Well, we're talking another example. I remember seeing a Wonder Woman costume, and it was more the Linda Carter costume. And
yeah.
you know, the bottom part, sorry to see a reverse muffin top where it's coming out the leg portion. For Wonder Woman, it's not the image I have, but if she feels comfortable being dressed that way, then you know, more power to her.
Yeah, good for her. You're allowed to be unattractive. I mean, you know, if I would dress up as Wonder Woman, I'm sure no one would want to see me either.
Oh, I'm prepping my Slave Leia costume for the next event.
You never. Well, the guy who runs Game FAQs or Game Facts used to dress up as Sailor Moon at conventions with a full beard.
Well, there was a guy at the last. Check out my Facebook page. I'm one of the days. I've got the photos. It's Celebration 6, either day 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't remember which day it is. There was a guy dressed in Slave Leia with a, you know, with a beard and everything. And to me, that was like one of the perfect ones. It's like, okay, cool. This is cool. He's out there being fun and cool about it. Me, personally, I would never do it. I could never do it.
I probably could. I have no shame. I have no shame. I'll do part of my stand-up act sometime on the show. You'll see how much shame I have. I've put things on Twitter before that my girlfriend has been like, you take that down right this second. And I'm like, I don't know if I should say it because there's not a dirty word in it, but it implies one. I'm not sure if I should say what this was on the podcast. It's just clean.
Well, we'll just let it go.
I had an autocorrect error when I sent a Valentine's Day message to my girlfriend, okay? And I put it on Twitter.
Oh, no.
And she's like, you take that down. I'm like, first of all, no one's going to believe that actually happened. I'm like, they're just going to think I made that up.
Well, getting back on Kickstarter, you're going to bring up Zach Braff.
Yeah, I want to make a final point about cosplay here, and especially at conventions. Because talking about it in the abstract on Kickstarter, people who are using Kickstarter to sell sexy pictures is one thing. And maybe I may or may not have a problem with that. I'm not really sure. Or on a website, whatever, you know, you can have your opinion on that. If you're at a convention and someone is cosplaying or just being at a convention, the golden rule for conventions is your mother told you this when you were a little kid. You don't have anything nice to say. Don't say anything at all to any other convention goer.
If you even think of, you know, if you feel you need to touch someone, touch yourself.
And not in public.
Oh, no. As far as I'm concerned, do it in public. That way you get kicked out. It's one less mouth breather, one less perv on the floor that you need to worry about.
Yeah, but, you know, in the meantime, we don't want to see it at the same time.
True.
You know, if you're going to convention to
I think something
creep,
like that.
Just don't go, because you're making the whole community look bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You're actively hurting the community. People did not go to the convention to get picked up by you. Well, maybe some of them did.
More and more are starting to add speed dating to their schedules.
I will tell you this. I've gone to conventions. I've never picked up or attempted to pick up anyone on a convention floor.
Again, married. It wasn't even just a thought.
I mean, you know, I've gone to after parties at conventions where that sort of thing goes on. But, you know, it's where, you know, everyone's there to, you know, hook up or whatever, or just get drunk. And don't take advantage of people who are drunk. Don't think I'm saying that. It's skeezy. But, you know, if you're at a party that's an atmosphere of people who are, you know, okay to say, hey, I'm so-and-so. How's it going? You know, like a normal human being would.
When you went to one of these after parties, was someone drunk and thought you were wearing a furry hamster costume?
No.
Okay.
No, that did not happen.
But with the cosplayers, I mean, if you feel you need to go crowdsourcing to help with your next costume, next major costume and whatnot, if you really that hard up for the money, go to Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Because
Kickstarter is not the place to buy things for yourself.
Well, Kickstarter's not even. That's one of those. If you don't get funded, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. If you don't get funded, you don't get any of the money pledged.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Indiegogo,
I prefer the Kickstarter model, honestly, to Indiegogo, because if I need X amount of dollars to do a project.
Right.
but I'm going to take whatever you give me. It's a lot less. It's a lot more likely that I'm going to take your money and not deliver a product.
Right. Yeah, but I think Indiegogo is still. They still follow up on the projects.
Yeah.
Like Kickstarter does. Make sure you follow through.
If you're doing a Kickstarter, you should be producing a tangible product that you couldn't otherwise produce, in my opinion.
Right.
Which brings me to my point about Zach Braff. You don't need to be on Kickstarter either, buddy. You have got enough money to finance your movie. I'm sorry, you do. I know you want to build it. You're not even giving away tickets to the movie.
I mean, take a look at what Kevin Smith did. He was going to put Clerks 3 on Kickstarter. You came along. He decided to pull that plan. Because he goes, you know, I actually had the money to do it. I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah. Now, if you're Rob Thomas and you want to do Veronica Mars, you don't have the money yourself. And even though Veronica Mars is a studio project, they're going to make you put the money up for this.
Right.
I think that was a good use. There would not be a Veronica Mars movie.
And he still put up a good bit of his own money.
Yeah.
But he was trying to turn it into a complete fan project as well.
Yeah, the way I look at Kickstarter is would this thing exist if it was not for this Kickstarter campaign? Veronica Mars movie would not exist if it was not for the Kickstarter campaign being successful.
Zach Braff's movie would.
Spike Lee's movie would.
Clerks 3 would.
Yeah.
Or will.
Adam Carolla's movie on Trumpstarter, I forget what it's called. That would exist, and it would still be terrible.
A certain site and podcast based out of South Florida. Oh, no relevance either way. So
yeah, You want to hear Andy Kindler's joke about Adam Carolla?
Go ahead.
Adam Carolla is like Adolf Hitler if Hitler wasn't funny.
Wow, that's bad. That's
my opinion of Adam Carolla too. He's a terrible person and he's not funny.
He was a good side when he worked with Dr. Drew, but that was about it. I mean, I didn't find him funny with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
In the Man Show. I think Kimmel carried most of that.
Yeah.
Kimmel's got his own nighttime show, late night show. Yeah. So, I mean,
Adam Carolla is another person who just can't stop saying stupid things.
True.
And he's doing a movie about being a road comic. The guy has never been a road comic. Adam, you know.
Yeah. It's like Taylor Swift and her breakup songs or her songs about love off her few albums. Like, honey, you haven't been around long enough to know.
I don't know about that. There's just a lot of reasons to think Taylor Swift is terrible. I don't think it's the content of her lyrics as much as it is the music that they're set to that does it for me. So. I mean, that's what offends me about Taylor Swift. I mean, yeah, I could care less what she's saying. It's the notes and the way they're put together that I don't like.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you could take those notes and put them in a different order and it would be okay.
Right. So, let's move on to, Anita Sarkeesian.
Anita Sarkeesian is awesome. I love Anita Sarkeesian. She does a web video series called Tropes Versus Women, and her YouTube channel is Feminist Frequency. And she's done three so far, and they've all been on the same trope, the damsel in distress. These are specific to video games. She's done other ones before this. And that ties into Kickstarter, too, because she had a Kickstarter campaign for this. And I believe her series is another thing that, you know, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Kickstarter.
Right.
And she had a runaway success on Kickstarter because as soon as she announced this, she's like, you know, I want to do this. And she asked for a very moderate amount of money. It was a few thousand dollars to you know, upgrade equipment.
Right.
You know, video editing.
Well, if you're going to put something out like Colin Cosell does as well,
yeah.
I mean, you gotta have the hardware to do it and you gotta have the software to edit it.
Yeah.
It's not like us sitting here with a webcam and producing like the unboxing video that we do for Booty Bin or that I do for Booty Bin, I'll put them in my shout out a little later. I mean, she's trying to put out an actual produced piece that could end up on like the U2 channel or what could have ended up on the old G4 network, which goes away in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I would say the quality of her show is very comparable to at least the early G4 stuff. It's very well done. But you know, when she announced that she's asking for a very small amount, she had done videos already, right?
Right.
So she had some equipment, but she wanted to get better equipment, do a professional piece, and she wanted, you know, money for research. And what she ended up buying with the money was a crap load of video games.
Okay.
Which, you know, again, it was not a crap load of video games for her to, you know, sit around and play video games. It was, you know, she's writing about video games.
Right. So it's actual research.
Yes. It just happened that the research she did turned out to be something, you know, people enjoy. That doesn't mean she's not researching it. So she did her Kickstarter, and she asked for a very small amount of money. And people got so mad that she was going to badmouth video games, and she hasn't. I mean, we'll get to the content in a second. People got so mad and started attacking her all over the place, right?
Right.
So, and that led to her Kickstarter becoming a runaway success, because okay. she could not have asked for better advertising than all the
idiots
on 4chan and Reddit. I'm going to say especially Reddit, the MRA people on Reddit. You're idiots, okay?
Right.
You're idiots. You don't have a point. Go away. But they harassed her so much that the decent people came out and said, you know what? I don't like what they're doing to her, and I'm going to give her money just to show them, even.
Right.
And that's not a knock against her, and she would have raised the money that she needed to do this video regardless, I think.
Right.
But I think, you know, people wanted to show support to her while she was being attacked, and that's natural. That's normal. And, you know, it's not like she took the money and ran, which was immediately the thing that became the thing to say about Anita Sarkeesian. It was a big scam because she made all this money. Well, she didn't ask for all that money, and there's nothing in the rules on Kickstarter that says you can't make profit.
Right. Oh, believe me, there's been plenty. I mean, look at Privateer Press, you know, with their stuff.
Yeah.
They scored on that one.
Yeah, they made almost $1.5 million. And, you know, true, a lot of that is going into developing the game. They're going to make a profit on that game.
Right.
It's, you know, and we hope everyone who, you know, if you're selling something, you're entitled to make a profit. And I would compare the reaction to that, like, oh, she got all this money she didn't need, it's a big scam, to the reaction to, if you remember, my first article for the website was about Rob Liefeld's Kickstarter, and boy, do I hate Rob Liefeld. And Rob Liefeld's Kickstarter was essentially pay for advertisement for my new book.
Right.
And that's how I read it. It's like, if I get enough money, I'm going to give away free copies of Brigade number 1 and 2. And, you know, depending on how much money is, the number of free issues we'll give away. I know for a fact that Rob Liefeld's a millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And he was asking for $35,000 to give away comic books.
It's chump
and
change.
It's promotional.
Right.
When you're giving away free, you know, the first few issues of your comic book for free, and then you're switching to a paid model, it's promotion.
Right.
You're asking people to pay for your promotion that you could easily pay out of your own pocket. And you're only doing it because Mark Silvestri, who I know is not a millionaire, did the same thing to success.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, Rob Liefeld is a literal millionaire, it's been reported, because Rob Liefeld made a lot of money off X-Force, because they gave him a percentage as a royalty. It's not really a royalty. They don't call it a royalty per se, because there's no ownership there. Rob Liefeld didn't own any of the X-Force characters.
Right, he just got major points.
Yeah, they do, you know, comic book creators do get, after your book sell, depending on your deal, it's really hard to say, because there's all these different deals, but Rob Liefeld was a pretty hot artist at the time, for whatever reason. People went through a phase where they hated feet. I think Rob Liefeld fans are like the opposite of foot fetishists. They're just people that just can't stand to see a foot. That's why they like Rob Liefeld.
Okay.
Because he can't draw them, so he obscures them.
We're going to give you 98% of the body.
Yeah, we're gonna show you the entire body right down to the ankles, and God help me, he can't draw any part of the body, but especially the feet. His feet look like garbanzo beans.
Wow.
X-Force 1 sold 1 million copies, and Liefeld got a percentage of that.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, Youngblood at Image sold a lot, because it was right at the, really sort of kicked off the speculative phase of comic books.
Right.
And I think more than anyone, Liefeld capitalized on that. It was, I think a lot of what he sold was because people thought it was going to be worth money and not because of any inherent quality, something that I wouldn't say about Todd McFarlane, who was in a similar position.
True.
Because I may not, I have my problems with McFarlane as well.
Yeah, but
McFarlane's a hell of an artist.
But McFarlane also went the whole Lucas approach. He merchandised on his own.
Yeah.
And has kept everything in-house. And has been brilliant with it.
Yeah, McFarlane made a lot of money doing the toy line.
Yeah.
But he had to make a lot of money after he sold that baseball. Or he bought the baseball. And then it was worthless. back to Anita Sarkeesian. The response I got to, you know, complaining about Rob Liefeld asking for money for promotion was people saying, hey, it's, you know, it's their money. If they want to give it to him to do that, that's their choice. You know, it's a free country, free market.
Right.
But when Anita Sarkeesian does the same thing to talk about video games, only she actually needs the money to produce this series, it's somehow a scam. Can't tell you exactly how it's a scam.
Because she's a female. It's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah. Well, women are wily and sneaky. Is that a stereotype?
Unfortunately.
I wasn't sure when I was saying it. I've heard that, you know, people are racist say that about Asians. But
being Jewish, if you only heard the stereotypes that I've heard. I mean, there's a good number of them, but I've heard a lot more.
We've all heard the anti-Semitic remarks that people have made.
I think the best one I ever heard was when I was at Boy Scout summer camp. And for those of you, those guys who are listening who were in Scouts as well, you know most of the camps. It's communal showers. And I was on a CIT at the time. And our shower, we had to share the communal shower.
Okay.
And I had this, you know, it was a Thursday because we did a non-denominational service at the camp. And, it, you know, all faiths were represented to the best we could. And so the next day, I'm down taking my shower, and this is upstate New York. I got this kid walking around. I'm getting a little creeped out, and he's staring and staring. I'm really getting uncomfortable, really getting creeped out. I'm like, is there a problem? He goes, you're Jewish, huh? Yeah. Funny you don't look it. It's like, what do you mean? He goes, my daddy said Jews have tails and horns, and I don't see either on you. I grab my towel, I grab my robe, put my flip flops, and said, come on, let's go. We need to go talk to the camp director.
Holy shit. That's like Borat.
Yeah. That, I hadn't, I mean, I've heard.
John Stewart, I think.
I have heard a lot of stuff, especially growing up in the Bible Belt, but I never expected that out of New York, and I had never heard that one before.
Yeah, well, my family's Catholic. I've heard some things about Catholics too, in that vein.
Not
quite the horn and tails, but I mean, it doesn't matter to me because I'm an atheist. So
that was a trip. It really was. So
that's crazy. I thought this was going to be you know something about you wearing like a bag of Jew gold around your neck or something.
No.
I was not expecting the horns and tail.
No. Horns and tail.
Wow. Actually, at first I thought it was going to be a circumcision thing, but I'm like, most guys are circumcised in America. Unfortunately.
Well,
but that's a whole other issue. But that's where I thought we were going, because you said you were in the shower.
Right. Yeah. Most guys, and the trend changed about 5-6 years ago. Well, within the last 10 years, the trend's been changing, but anyhow, last issue.
I want to go back to Anita Sarkeesian. I'm not done because her first couple of videos have come out, and I think they're really good. She's only so far been talking about the trope of the damsel in distress.
Okay.
And you can tell that the people who are attacking her haven't watched her videos. And I have. I watched all three of them. And what she's done is she's pointed out variations of this trope, and she's mainly made the point of this is way more common than you think. And I'm going to be honest, I was surprised. She must have had over 100 examples of games, mostly modern games, that used this, you know, the goal of the game was to rescue the damsel in distress.
Right.
It seems like, you know, Mario is like that, right?
Right. It's a classic fairy tale storyline.
Yeah. But, I mean, it seems outdated. It didn't. I didn't realize that, that was the plot of so many video games, because I don't play a lot of video games, and it doesn't really come up in the ones that I do.
Well, you look on Twitter at people like Evil One Tinkerbell, I think is her name, and Geeky Gamer Chick, and a few of the others out there. You know, they all talk about some of these games where you create your character. Your only option is a male character. There is no female option.
I think that's why people like Mass Effect so much.
Right. Well, and I think that's why people like the MMOs is because you're given a choice.
And you know, if you've played Mass Effect, Shepard's total badass.
Right.
And if you play Mass Effect as a female Shepard, Shepard is a total badass.
Right.
I think, you know, I can understand why that's empowering. You're not, you know, the female character doesn't always need to be the one that gets rescued.
Right.
So that was her point of the first things that people are complaining, oh, you know, she wants to change video games and people should never do anything she doesn't like. She never said that. What she did, the thrust of her reporting seems to be is, you know, it's worth looking at, you know, is the pervasiveness of this harmful? It could be, you know, you're portraying women as helpless or a reward, essentially.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, you know, you don't think about it too much until you see 15 or 20 games in a row that are all doing the same thing. And then you're like, huh. And I think the most interesting thing, this just happened a couple of days ago, one of the games that she mentioned was Spelunky.
Okay.
And, you know, in Spelunky, you play this little dude and you go and you rescue your girlfriend, and you can change it from like your girlfriend to your dog, I think, for the computer release. And she had an issue with that and she talked about it. And the guy who created Spelunky said, oh, wow, I watched these videos, and she mentioned one of my games in a positive way and one of my games in a negative way. And she said, you know, aside from this one thing, Spelunky is one of my favorite games. And he's like, yeah, you know, you gave me a lot to think about when I make my next game. It's perfectly civil, you know, people doing exactly what she said, just get people to think about things. And then, you know, people started attacking her about it. I think people started attacking him for not being mad at her.
No, and people aren't realizing that there are more women, girls, whoever, making up the geek lifestyle that are gamers. Yeah. I mean, look at the show King of Nerds. I mean, you're the gaming experts on the first season. I want to say you saw represented by women.
Yeah.
You know, were your top gaming people on the teams were your women. I mean, there was two or three professional gamers that were women on the show,
which I think is great. And the problem comes that there are some people who don't want women to be gaming, apparently.
Well,
from the way they act.
It's
like, this is our space and you're not allowed in it. It's like the Little Rascals, the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Right. Well, in the geek world, women are only meant to be cosplayers. That's it.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they're not allowed to do anything else. And, you know, this is why I push with my daughter. No, you could do whatever you want. I mean, I hook her towards the female superheroes. I mean, she loves Wonder Woman. She loves Batgirl.
Yeah.
But she loves Captain America. She loves Superman. She loves Iron Man. I mean, her two top heroes right now is Captain America and Wonder Woman. And those are her two favorites. And I'm fine with that. I mean, so, after a couple hours of trying to figure out internet connections and some other technical problems, I was not successful being able to get Eric back, and after some phone calls between Eric and I, he was not able to get back on himself. Such is the life of podcasting, such is the life of the internet. It's just another issue to add to this show about issues. best thing I could say is, please, you know, what we say, it's meant for, I mean, part of it's entertainment. I mean, some of these are issues that, yes, we give our opinions. And, of course, as you heard, Eric and I don't necessarily agree with everything. And that's fine. That's what makes us a good team. That's what makes our chemistry. And nothing says perfectly that I have to agree with everything Eric says, and Eric has to agree with everything I say. And we don't have to agree with everything that you guys feel. And probably were screaming at us, and other people looking at you weird on, why are you screaming at people on an iPod or screaming in your car as you're listening to this through your radio? Those are the issues for this show. Believe me, we're not here to put down anything geek. We're very big supporters of all things geek. And it's, I don't know how to say it anymore. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't be here. Well, we probably still would. We just might not have as big of a voice. Without the newsmakers in the out there and networks like Sci-Fi really trying to put a weird spin on cosplay, and people like the author of Ender's Game causing that controversy, we wouldn't have a show like this. So that's it for this week before I start rambling anymore and totally get off track. Follow Eric on Twitter at NecroFamicon. Follow Mark, one of our comics columnists, at CRH Mark, and listen to his show Crazy Random Happenstance. And be sure to check out his column, Why You Should Be Reading. Follow me on Twitter at WeebieGeeks, which is also the show. Follow us on Facebook at /WeebieGeeksPC. Give us a shout on email, WeebieGeeksPC@gmail.com. We will get back to you if you ever email us. Also, too, check out the show. Check out the site. We thank you for being faithful to us, to help us out in the future. Please, if you decide to go through Amazon, go to our homepage, and with Amazon, click the link, the search link, and bookmark it. That will always be helping us with our show. It helps us earn some advertiser dollars to help keep the show up and going, and keep the website up and going. Very minimal, but I mean it helps make the show and the site, you know, one for the fans. A couple shout outs. Check out Booty Bin. Remember, you know, it's your monthly box of geek goodness. You know, if you want to see what some of the previous boxes were, check out our YouTube channel, Weebie Geeks, and you'll see some of the unboxings I've done in the past. Check them out. I know near the end of the month, they should be getting ready to be sending out, or orders should be wrapping up soon for next month. So check them out, bootybin.com. Check out our other shows that promote us and we help promote with them. Epic Podquest, Well Watchers, Menage a Geek, Soda Pop Talk. Give those guys a listen as well. Until then, I think I finally found a catchphrase that I'm going to start using to wrap up shows. And it comes from one of my hidden pleasures, or secret pleasures, I guess, so to speak. So just remember, folks, being geeks It's a great thing. It's a great life. Embrace it. Don't let anyone knock you down. If you have issues, stand up for your issues. Stand up for what you believe in. It's what you feel is right, not what we tell you is right. Until then, and until next time, I'll say, be it. Don't be it, or don't dream it, be it. So, until next time.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the flight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this flight? Roll them up.
This has been a BB Geeks production.